this week, episode 314, with another article from our friend Brandon Turbeville on Activist Post. World on precipice as Russia threatens to shoot down U.S. jets and the U.S. refuses to back down. The world is perhaps closer now to World War III than it's been in five decades as the situation in Syria is heating up yet again. In just the last few days, 3 to 4 days, the United States has attacked the Syrian military, shooting down a jet. Iran has launched missiles into Syria. Russia is threatening to shoot down American planes, and the U.S. is just digging in its heels and continuing to threaten and provoke both the Russians and the Syrians. That's pretty much the micro version of the situation, a prime situation in which the U.S. may decide to conduct a strike against Syrian military forces or otherwise invade the airspace designated by Russia as off-limits, thereby calling Russia's bluff in regards to its threats. James, there's a lot of threats going on, and again, each move seems to kind of ratchet it up. And we know full well, just as we've already sort of seen, that America's next top president won't hesitate a moment to start launching missiles with whatever the mad dog and the generals gathered in their masses suggest for him to do. James?
It seems that we keep going back to Syria when these dramatic escalations occur, and that is because they continue to escalate. It's hard to overestimate how important this is, and it seems on an hourly basis now, crazier and crazier stories are coming out.
April 6, 2017, American soldier, we got a fucking problem. Security advisor, what happened? Is it the Trump ignoring the intel and going to try to hit the Syrians and that we're pissing on the Russians? This is bad. Things are spooling up. SA, you may not have seen Trump's press conference yesterday. He brought into the media a story without asking to see the intel. We are likely to get our asses kicked by the Russians. Fucking dangerous. Where are the goddamn adults? The failure of chain of command to tell the president the truth, whether he wants to hear it or not, will go down in history as one of our worst moments. I don't know. None of this makes any sense. We know there was no chemical attack. The Syrians struck a weapons cache, a legitimate military target, and there was collateral damage. That's it. They did not conduct any sort of chemical attack. Oh, DJ Mouse aside, in one of those pictures they're pointing to, you see a cylinder that had an explosive placed on top of it. So it's busted open, boom, and the shit squirts out both ends. And then, of course, it's in the middle of the crater. So you see that is not a, you know, anyway. That was one of a bunch of those things, and that was just a picture of many of the incidents that we're talking about here. But this is from www.welt.de/POLLT. Well, I can't read it. Austin, we got a fucking problem. This is Welt, the German paper. American soldier. I don't know. None of this makes any sense. We know there was no chemical attack. The Syrians struck a weapons cache, a legitimate military target, and there was collateral damage. That's it. They did not conduct any sort of chemical attack. AS. And now we're shoving a shitload of TLAMs, tomahawks, up their ass. SA. There has been a hidden agenda all along. This is about trying to ultimately go after Iran. What the people around Trump do not understand is that the Russians are not a paper tiger, and they have more robust military capabilities than we do. I don't know what the Russians are going to do. They might hang back and let the Syrians defend their own borders, or they might provide some sort of tepid support, or they might blow us the fuck out of the airspace and back into Iraq. I honestly don't know what to expect right now. I feel like anything is possible. The Russian air defense system is capable of taking out our TLAMs. This is a big fucking deal. We are still all systems go. Security advisor, you are so right. Russia is not going to take this lying down. Security advisor, who is pushing this? Is it coming from Votel? as General Joseph L. Votel, commander of the United States Central Command, editor's note. That's the Welt, the German papers editor. American soldier. I don't know. It's from someone big, though. This is a big fucking deal. A.S. It has to be POTUS, President of the United States. American soldier. They, the Russians, are weighing their options. Indications are they are going to be passive supporters of Syria and not engage their systems unless their own assets are threatened. In other words, the sky is fucking blue. Whatever that means. April 7, 2017. Security advisor, what are the Russians doing or saying? Am I correct that we did little real damage to Russia or Syria? American soldier, we didn't hit a damn thing, thankfully. They retrograded all their aircraft and personnel. We basically gave them a very expensive firework display. AS, they knew where ships were and watched the entire strike from launch to endgame. AS, the Russians are furious, claiming we have the real intel and know the truth about the weapon strike, depot strike. AS, they are correct. American soldier, I guess it really didn't matter whether we elected Clinton or Trump. Well, on that note,
generals gathered in their masses. Just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerer of death construction. In the fields of bodies burning. As the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, we'll be right back. darkness world stops turning. Ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power. And as God has struck the hour, day of judgment, God is calling. On the knees, the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for the sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh, Lord, yeah.
So fucking evil. That's the American soldier. The security advisor says, amen. Now, Seymour Hirst provided this conversation to the, of course, you're not going to show who it was because you don't want them caught, okay? Back to the American soldier. This was April 8th, a couple days after we murdered a bunch of Syrians on the pretext that the death squads that we were supplying with chemical weapons were really their responsibility, I guess, for being socialist. You know, the post 9/11 Northwoods, PNAC, Pentagon's stand down, defense holiday for NORAD's stand down for Pentagon drone strikes and 3WC demolitions. So the American soldier on April 8th is saying the Russians are being extremely reasonable despite what the news is reporting. They are still trying to deconflict and coordinate the air campaign. Security advisor, I don't think the Russia yet understand how crazy Trump is over this, and I don't think we appreciate how much damage the Russians can do to us. American soldiers, they're showing amazing restraint and been unbelievably calm. They seem mostly interested in de-escalating everything. They don't want to lose our support in the help with destroying ISIS. But I get the feeling are simply trying this approach for as long as they feel it might work. If we keep pushing this current aggressive stance, they're going to hit back. So, back to where were we? Oh, yes. The, let's go to the 612 weapon protest at 5300 Port Chicago Highway, where I will be next Monday, and you can meet me there and stand in the way of killing on the side of Al-Qaeda. If you want U.S. out of Syria, come stand in the way of all the orange diamonds that go rolling by 5300 Port Chicago Highway, the tracks, the railroad tracks, where the Banta said, if we're going to have a conversation, let's have it now. There's 3 minutes till high noon. And then they chopped him into pieces. But,
Delfine, delfine, es tut. friendly is coming.
Hi.
You're back. You have a better phone this time.
I know. It's a miracle. I still got the other one.
Oh, the flip phone?
Yeah, and then I'm going to film what I recorded onto that, but I don't know. You don't need to be up there on the internet, do you? You want to be,
Not particularly.
Not particularly. Okay.
No, I just wanted to say hi.
Hi. Yeah, that was pleasant. I put the audio up.
Okay.
It's Indie Bay. It's called the Mouse Report. I'm DJ Mouse.
DJ Mouse?
Yeah, I go every Tuesday, and I tell Berkeley Liberation Radio on them.
That's cool.
So your voice is there.
Oh.
And I've got the MP driving by, so people...
Yeah, they just want to check it out. I already told them that you're one of our friends.
Regular. Oh, thank you. Oh, that's so sweet. I won't tell anybody you said that.
Yeah, don't tell your
You'll
friends.
Get in trouble, believe me. You'll get in trouble. Scare them away. We don't like them. Us me.
Yeah. All right.
That's our idea.
Did you put up posters this time or no?
Well, see, the one that I had put up...
Was
all the, so I really don't. I'm going to take the other one down. Have you helped kill children in Yemen with white phosphorus today? You remember? Have you hugged your kid today?
Yeah.
So that's from the old. Have you killed kids in El Salvador today?
Oh.
My little cutesy from the horrible 80s. Let me turn this off so I don't accidentally. For the last 2 weeks, you could go by the weapons station railroad crossing where my friend Brian Wilson lost his legs to the weapons train, and it says no WMD with the mushroom cloud zero with a WMD inside, and then it said no steel frame building falls in fire, no Afghan did it, idiots. We dropped the biggest WMD on Afghanistan since Nagasaki's. On our allies in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a question mark, exclamation point. What kind of prehistoric monsters are we? Asked the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
To 5300 Port Chicago Highway. Military Ocean Terminal Concord.
Pulford Action Bulletin, where I myself contributed a very important early documentary magazine that told the truth about U.S. intelligence and their operations abroad and at home. So here's Lewis Wolf.
Good afternoon. My name is Lewis Wolf. I'm one of the co-founders and co-editors and I was director of research of Covert Action Quarterly. It was formerly called Covert Action Information Bulletin. We published from 1978 to 2005. I truly wish we were still publishing. My God, we need it today more than ever. We were lucky enough to invite over 200 of the best journalists, investigative journalists, writers, investigators of the realities of U.S. imperialism, of U.S. empire around the world. And then as time went on during our 27 years, we decided we got to focus more back here in this country, because it's not only the home of the Central Intelligence Agency and the rest of the U.S. intelligence apparatus, but it's also emblematic of the issue, empire. The United States has over 1,000 bases around the world, all of them in place not to protect the people of this country, as they would pretend, but in place to protect American investments, American enterprises around the world, and also to generate a force of trained killers.
Let me ask you, we're here in Bob Perry's house celebrating investigative journalism. Bob Perry, obviously the author of Consortium News, and we're celebrating the work of Gary Webb. Why was Gary Webb important? Why is investigative reporting more important now, if you think so, even than it was when you began?
Gary was a personal friend of mine and somebody who I really respected very highly. Somebody who dared to go where few journalists would go, and that was to investigate how the drug trade is run, how it functions within. And so his investigative journalism skills were really at on exhibit as he wrote his book, and then he was interviewed and became a worldwide celebrity as a result of his work. And but I have to say, I think it should go on the record that he did not commit suicide. I don't think there's any doubt of that, because I spoke to him 2 weeks before his death, and he was working on an article for Covert Action Quarterly, which I had been pressing him for some time to do. And he said, okay, I'm working on that. I promise you I'll get you that article done. Unfortunately, he met his maker, but it wasn't him killing himself, shooting himself in the back of the head twice. How do you do that? That's what the allegation was.
You can argue that part of it, but what's true is they really was an attempt to snuff out his spirit, as they often do.
Okay, with the let us interrupt this in
very different ways. Was having a struggle
killing
making ends meet.
Killing so his co-worker, that's what the day show is called. Killing his co-worker, Dennis.
That's a fact.
We're naming it after your...
And Covert Action, but what was the modus operandi?
Pumping that second, pumping the second bullet in the head of our friend and colleague. I talked to Gary Well. He knew I was suing the CIA.
Jim and Elsie Wilcott, the last three were former CIA officers.
Let's make that. We got a second job
and,
for you. You can do that too.
And we dedicated ourselves to really go after not just the CIA, but go after the truth behind the Phil A.G., Jim and Elsie Wilcott, who passed on, and I believe John Stockwell is still living, one of the writers.
Nice.
Very nice, sweet, and very scholarly person. And he wasn't afraid to go where few others would tread in his work.
You never saw Phil relaxing.
He was always working. I used to know him.
Okay, let me back it up again, because I just cannot listen to murder going down under my eyes. And the, when I shoot myself twice in the head, as they will tell you, it isn't because I came back from the dead to do it. It's because they're lying, and they are shooting me that second time, obviously, but...
As time went on during our 27 years, we decided we got to focus more
my ballistic
in this country, because it's not only the home of the Central Intelligence Agency and the rest of the U.S. intelligence apparatus, but it's also emblematic of the issue, empire. The United States has over 1,000 bases around the world, all of them in place not to protect the people of this country, as they would pretend, but in place to protect American investments, American enterprises around the world, and also to generate a force of trained killers.
Let me ask you, we're here in Bob Perry's house celebrating investigative journalism. Bob Perry, obviously the author of Consortium News, and we're celebrating the work of Gary Webb. Why was Gary Webb important? Why is investigative reporting more important now, if you think so, even than it was when you began?
Gary was a personal friend of mine and somebody who I really respected very highly. Somebody who dared to go where few journalists would go, and that was to investigate how the drug trade is run, how it functions within. And so his investigative journalism skills were really at on exhibit as he wrote his book, and then he was interviewed and became a worldwide celebrity as a result of his work. And but I have to say, I think it should go on the record that he did not commit suicide. I don't think there's any doubt of that, because I spoke to him 2 weeks before his death, And he was working on an article for Covert Action Quarterly, which I had been pressing him for some time to do. And he said, okay, I'm working on that. I promise you I'll get you that article done. Unfortunately, he met his maker, but it wasn't him killing himself, shooting himself in the back of the head twice. How do you do that? That's what the allegation was.
You can argue that part of it, but what's true is they really was an attempt to snuff out his spirit, to, as they often do.
I can't stand you, Dennis, you lying sack of shit. You just called him a liar on your own show. You don't shoot yourself twice in the head because you're doing a good job chasing them down and then say he couldn't get hired in journalism when you're talking to the guy who had hired him in journalism. Who put Samori Marksman on the back cover in 1999, okay? They were taken down in voice listener-supported radio 10 points down the dial. Now, this was yesterday, okay? Lou Wolf mentioned my friend, Jim Nelson Wilcott. I don't want to get distracted too much because, of course, the story is the JFK assassination, the CIA insider review by Jim Wilcott. Kennedy assassination came as no great shock to most of the people at Tokyo Station in Japan, a Class A station of the CIA, seemed a logical culmination of the steadily building anguish and discontent over the Bay of Pigs fiasco and commie sellout of the Kennedy administration. That was the prevailing sentiment. Okay, now, because Trump has business ties with Russia, you get all the mocking crew, you know, Russia, Russia, Russia bashing, okay, because of this commie sellout theme that is America, founded the year after UK abolished the slave trade, so that's a deep state for you. Democracy means majority view, and 99% of the people were called the enemy, and now they've been whittled down to the 1% of this. No, we are the 99% because 1% survived from 15 million to 150,000. Turn of the century, never mind. Anyway, can we commie sellout of the Kennedy administration? Now, there were two wars that this recovering Bolshevik cares about, okay, and they were both against slavery, and Russia was fighting slavery on our side in both of those. So if we go to Russia, if there's another war against slavery involving Russia, I'm on Russia's side. I don't care what anybody says. So commie sellout at Kennedy Street that had our brains landing on the back of the vehicle after driving past the Patsy, the Big Brother Nation was shoving down our throats. Now the Patsy could not have been responsible if after driving past him, the brains fall towards you. A five-year-old knows better, okay? So he was called a commie. And because he, you see those pictures of him and that Ukrainian Nikita smiling and doing treason to their militaries, okay? Now, the militaries are doing treason right now, just like under Obama. Dear Azur is where the Armenian genocide took place at your hand, gringo gringa, because you put up with a child rapist, Dennis Hassler, okay? Turkey's got the goods on him. So the responsible parties for the murder of a million Armenians, okay? And I don't disrespect the 30 million Muslims after the 9/11 staged demolitions of the WTCs. So in 1999, we shut down the World Trade Center, but they upstaged us with false flag domestic terrorism made in USA. And Jim talks about that right here, down about page 17. It was said they had many difficulties with Oswald, as that nature which has been forgotten. Critics said that it was a stupid project from sending him to the Soviet. Yeah. Well, he learned Russian at the military. Anyway, they should have known that the Soviets would never buy the story. He was a poor subject for such a deep cover operation. Well, but the operation was to give the Russians the elevations of the U-2 that they were flying in violation of Eisenhower's wishes. And so when they were shot down, that spoiled the tank. You know, the military-industrial complex has this war with Russia, and it goes back to the banksters that took over England. There were Germans paying the French to fight the English, and then they took over the English bank by pretending to sell the British consuls, making all the British think that they had won. Okay, those Germans are called Rothschilds. And you can call them what you will, but I'm calling them Germans. So that those are the dirty Germans that are responsible for World War One, because they made sure that the Americans, oh no, they made sure the Germans knew there were arms shipped on the Lusitania, the passenger liner. And the quid pro quo was a Balfour Declaration from the guy that denied sanctuary to Jews during the pogroms in Eastern Europe. And we could say Asians, during the pogroms of Asians in Eastern Europe. Because Khazaria feigned Judaism so they could trade, right? You could use usury so they could get rich, okay? It's not like material. He's the oppressor to survive, and Moloch is the god of this world, but never mind. It was said they had difficulty. When Oswald returned from the USSR in June 62, either on his way back or after he got back, he was brought back to Japan to either Atsugi or Okosuku. Oh, yeah. So, the guy who was shot down wrote a book, and he said, well, Oswald was the one that gave him the elevation. He had a high security. Gary Power, that was it. The U-2 pilot. I can't recall for whom, and I expressed disbelief about Oswald even being a CIA project. I was told something like, well, Jim, so-and-so drew an advance sometime in the past from you for Oswald, or for that project, or such-and-such a crypto. It was a familiar crypto to me at the time, which I have since forgotten, as well as the time that the advance of funds were drawn. Among the close circle of friends with which I discussed all this openly, there was no doubt Ruby was paid by CIA to do away with Oswald, and Oswald was a patsy. Information from other rather tight social circles would occasionally come our way. We would seize upon it and try to fit it into our own version of the scenario. There was no doubt CIA was in thick as thieves with Dallas police. Several different individuals or firms in Dallas had been involved one way or another with acting as cutouts for arms and shipments to Cuban exiles for the invasion. This we concluded from putting various pieces of information together. I remember hearing about some CIA people who had somehow helped get right-wing Minutemen to Texas arms, originally intended for the invasion. One of the reasons given for the necessary to do with Oswald, Marina Oswald was thought to have been a sleeper agent, perhaps recruited sometime before Oswald's defection, waiting there in Russia for Oswald in order to help him out. It was reasoned that she may have been blown when Oswald contacted her, with the KGB following along behind. Deal was made between the Russians and the CIA, which she was taken and allowed to return to the U.S. with Oswald. Even before public exposure revealed the impossibility of Oswald as a triggerman or even firing a gun again, analysis station produced this conclusion. The uncensored original events were broadcast to Japanese TV, and discrepancies pointed out by persons with special training and long experience at this sort of analysis, and were further confirmed by an avalanche of subsequent revelations. Oh, I missed the one where he talks about the plan was to have him linked to Oswald as an excuse. Let me hit Oz and go find that. And then, to genocide.
The Contabini.
They sentenced me to 20 years of boredom.
And you see, girl speaks out after being abandoned by the
trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them. First we take Manhattan, and then we take the heaven.
Thank you, Joe Cocker. First we took Seattle, 1999. Then before we could repeat the process in Manhattan, we were upstaged with Pentagon air defense stand-downs, drone strikes, and triple demolitions. So, let's get in the way back machine. Listen to Robert Knight, Noel Hanrahan, Chris Bruni, Dennis, and Amy at the scene of the crime to see Big Brother hijacking nonviolent shutdown of the banksters on their home turf with false flag domestic terrorism made in USA. Oh, but before I do that, this is that line I was looking for from Jim Wilcott, who was just mentioned yesterday on Flashpoints. After one discussion we had, it seemed quite likely the original assassination project may have been to kill Kennedy, blame it on Oswald, who would be solidly linked to Castro as a pretext for another invasion or attempted buildup. In other words, the Northwoods op is, let's kill Americans and use that as our pretext, and when the American is standing in the way then of your war machine, then even if it's the president, then we kill the president and plant the Cuban flag on Oswald, the patsy, okay, the pretend shooter that killers lie about. But where were we? Oh, yes, the Wayback Machine. Get ready for the defense holiday for the panic button. Now, it used to be we assembled around September 11th to free Mumia, thanks to Michael Franti's awesome wittiness and power. And so they had to upstage that along with the... of course, you're going to have a convergence of the date, 9/11, the panic button, the psychic, you know, boogeyman, along with the next planned shutdown of the World Trade Center would have been in New York, and that was called off because of those attacks. I got the flyer for it was in September, but after the 11th, the day before the 10-year bonds were due that we used to buy up Putin's KGB generals, okay, Pugov, who got a suicide with 3 bullets to the head, like Gary Webb's 2 bullets, and I had his book, I forget what because I loaned it to somebody and never gave it back. Back to the Wayback Machine. Now, well, first we took Seattle, then before we could repeat the process, they upstaged us with Pentagon air defense stand-down, drone strikes and triple demolitions, hijacking nonviolent shutdown of the banksters on their home turf with false flag domestic terrorism made in USA. So, let's hop in the Wayback Machine here. 2001.
That sort of a confetti-like office paper is floating down from the sky, but that might just be the result of the explosion of the World Trade Center.
Is Robert with us? Can we bring him in now?
Robert, are you with us? Here he is.
Robert, why don't you give us a sense again? Tell us where you are and what you're looking at now and describe the situation there.
I am reporting from an elevated location abutting the East River. I have line of sight and telescopes visible to the United Nations as well as the Empire State Building and the World Trade Center.
No known group that is known to have the capability to pull off something like this. I mean, the most sophisticated act that has been pinned on Osama bin Laden was the attacks on the U.S. embassies in Africa in 1998. And, that was a coordinated attack with truck bombs. It was pretty sophisticated. But it's actually child's play in comparison with what we've seen today. I mean, we're looking at a kind of coordination and scale and sophistication that I think the most sophisticated military in the world would have a hard time pulling off.
San Francisco has closed City Hall, the school, the district is virtually a ghost town. Most financial markets are closed nationwide today, and many businesses in the financial district are closed. Bank of America building on New Montgomery Street is closed, the Embarcadero Center is closed, and indeed many buildings in the financial district are closed today. Also, we got word that the Explore Prime in San Francisco is closed as well. There have been no major evacuations, however. Authorities, though, are on high alert. Here in the East Bay, in Oakland, officials have activated the emergency system as a precaution.
We're going to go to the FBI because Mueller is suddenly in charge of the Podesta Pedogate because his laptop has Huma's emails and Anthony Weiner, or no, whatever Weiner that was, Weinergate, whatever Weinergate that was, is sexting 15-year-olds to felonious that they're looking the other way for weeks. That's what Comey was guilty of, obviously, along with telling Loretta Lynch to, or she was telling him, or I forget which way that went, to refer to it as a matter, okay, not an investigation. Don't tell the world that we're investigating and covering it up, because you can't, like, you know, just throw dirt on it. You got to say it didn't even exist after you throw dirt on it. So that's what a matter is. It didn't even exist. But that's who this, Mueller was responsible for the prosecution of General Manuel Noriega of Panama. And there was a great Frontline that with the transcript in the NPR on the CIA drug scandal that has Michael Harari featured. Of course, he was in the White House with Hillary and Bill and the son of Hitler's banker, Poppy Bush, who and Michael Harari and Poppy Bush were 2 weeks before JFK John plane blew up. They were on the Essex County Airport next to it. Anyway, that was Noriega, okay, who refused to cooperate with a sting operation when he's our drug dealer against the Sandinistas. He pulled out of the Contra War, boom, that's what got him. Now, CIA main money launderer for the, so of course, Mueller oversaw post 9/11 abuses. He was the guy that drove the getaway car in the Guns for Drugs episode that had the Poppy Bush's Mina coke stand attendants. This is all the world knows we're busted, but it's the opium war, you know. And you know, this is the empire that can float cannons into China's harbor and blast away until they force opium into the country in the opium war. And now Poppy Bush has done that. By way of his son in Afghanistan, by way of the media that lie out the ass when we blew ourselves up, and the media are twisting the knife in the back of Gary Webb while pretending to blow smoke up his ass to resuscitate, you know, because you can resuscitate people. You get a bellows, you suck the air from the spire, you stick it up their rectum, and you blow hot smoke up their ass, and you know, if you are unconscious, that's going to wake you up. You're going to start breathing, even though you'll lay there unconscious and die because your tongue is blocking your airway. Well, listen, the high teacher Vincent Brown knew. Listen, you blow in his mouth, okay? And that's what he did over a century ago, and he saved the Lakota chief's son's life as a doctor, you know. And the chief didn't have anything but a medicine bag, and so Vincent Brown had a dream about that, about all the tribes marching up into the sky, making a rainbow. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, back to the horrible 80s. Noriega was taken down by the CIA and prosecuted because he was found to be taking a much larger cut out of CIA drug profits than he was agreed upon. Well, this is one of Reno's Inside Elite by Joel Skousen, J-S-K-O-U-S-E-N, at QWEST.net one, .net, excuse me. The one was the first, started this little thing, where I edited part of that to my notes for the week of endless bad news and horror, because Mueller is in charge of this Russia bashing that is going down, pushing us to World War III, which I think would be a bad thing because I am having fun. So you know I'm not going to even shoot myself the first time. Never mind come back from the dead like they're saying Gary Webb did and put a second bullet in my head. Never mind coming back a third time like they said General Pugoff, one of the generals we bought off with the World War II loot. Now, 89, Kissinger wrote that letter to Marco shaking him down. So that color revolution in the Philippines is shaking down that money so that we could buy up the ruble, buy up the industry in Russia, and buy up the people like Yeltsin. And you take pride of it, gringa. And then you say, oh, they're doing it to us. That's projecting. That's what we call projecting. But back to Mueller, who is the story of the hour. So he covered up, our role in the drug running of the horrible ladies, the guns for drugs scandal of Iran-Contra. In 1988, Mueller supervised the investigation of Pan Am Flight 800, in which Pick Bosa was tipped off. Okay, the South Africans, they are allied with the Israelis because they're both apartheid monsters. Syracuse, New York students took those empty seats, okay, at the last minute. That's why the Syracuse DA needs to prosecute Mueller for that murder. And Hillary and drone bomber for murdering my stunt double, Gaddafi in Libya, on that pretext. Okay, projection, we're always projecting and killing people, blaming them on our crime. It's our war on our shadow, the so-called war on terror. But anyway, Pan Am Flight 800 was destroyed by terrorist bombs over Lockerbie, Scotland. He successfully kept the CIA's connection to the bombing from becoming public because the army team led by, was it McKay or something like that, had discovered the heroin connection, you know. the Korea unit, okay, and Korea unit. So the whole point was to get the Americans off and the South Africans off, but not the Americans that had uncovered the Poppy Bush connection. Okay, Mueller was in charge of the which destroyed material. He successfully kept CIA's connection to the bombing from becoming public. CIA and the FBI took control of the crash scene for the first day, keeping Scottish police at bay. Oh yeah, they got all names. Searching through and removing numerous pieces of evidence and luggage from the wreckage to obscure the connections of the bombing to the CIA special team that was on board the aircraft. One CIA defector had said that the team had been returning to the States against orders to blow the whistle on CIA drug and terrorist connections to the Middle East. So, that CIA defector was talking about the Army team that had uncovered the heroin that gringos and slimebuggers at the Thames. We are the misbegotten spawn of the Pirates of the Thames and the Potomac are running in the opium war, most notoriously Afghanistan, after this pretext of...
Missionary move, but officials are...
Okay, back to... Get into the Wayback Machine, going back to 2001, September 11th.
Stressing that today is a normal day. The City Hall is open, schools are in session, and also city employees are reporting to work today. And Alameda County offices are closed today. We are getting late word on that. We are still awaiting calls from some other Bay Area cities as well. Dennis, back to you.
All right, thanks, Chris Bruni. We
trains to New Jersey. You've got all of the subways that come in. 8:45, the first explosion, that is in the midst of rush hour. Tourists by the thousands come and they go to the top of the World Trade Center to get a full view looking north of Manhattan and then looking at the Empire State Building and all other places in a many mile area. We're in Chinatown. We're northeast of. You have the World Trade Center. You go up a bit to the right. You go up a bit to the northeast and there's City Hall. And then just a bit more to the northeast is Chinatown. Very densely populated area. Brad was just walking outside and talking to people on the street. Brad, what were people saying?
First I just want to emphasize, if we're walking outside, we're some 20 blocks or so from where the attacks on the World Trade Center took place, and the skies are just black, thick with smoke. There's a steady stream of people coming from the financial district.
Reported that the Department of Defense is under a condition called Threatcon Delta. Threatcon Delta is the highest level of military alert.
What do we know about, this is Noelle Hanrahan, what do we know about the Pentagon attack and what happened in Washington and the extent of that? We're seeing very little reports about that.
It is the southwestern corner of the Pentagon that was hit.
Now, as we just heard, New York police estimates, not a surprise when you see in the skyline the north and south tower of the World Trade Center crumbling when they both collapse with 50,000 people working there, 150,000 people overall there in a day, that the death toll would be in the thousands. American Airlines flight, it looks like, according to reports, that this was a flight from Boston to Los Angeles, may have been hijacked, 81 people on board, low-flying, moves along. And it crashes into one of the towers as you see the smoke and the fire billowing out. It started at 8:45. The next attack came 18 minutes later, the next crash into the World Trade Center. And by 10:28 New York time, both towers had collapsed.
Established an emergency number for those who are concerned about people who may have been passengers on it. That number is area code 800-932-8555.
Are not telling people where it is just one element of the fact that information is going to be really difficult to get.
All right, then.
As you point out, when the tower collapses, they're hit in the street by cement or debris. Actually, Brad will introduce this. Brad, why don't you introduce this gentleman?
Hi, this is a gentleman who had come across the bridge when the World Trade Center towers were first hit. He was in the street right outside when the second World Trade Center collapsed.
Do you want
reported that the Department of Defense has bumped up to what is called ThreatCon Delta. That's military speak for Threat Condition Delta. I have some more information on that. There are four levels of alert: Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, and Delta, Delta being the maximum. The considerations include the movement of people, visitor identification, vehicle checks, and the security of various buildings. Specifically, the military alert status that the nation is under right now, called Threat Condition Delta, is normally declared, according to the Pentagon, as a localized warning when a terrorist attack has occurred or intelligence indicates likely terrorist action against a specific location. It requires commanders to implement mandatory security measures tailored to the local scenario, and it authorizes and encourages them to supplement mandatory measures as they see fit based on their knowledge of the local area. Now, the most recent imposition of ThreatCon Delta, as far as I know, was when the USS Cole was attacked in the Gulf region. But at this point in time, now in the United States, there is a ThreatCon Delta at the Department of Defense.
And we go now to the gentleman who's just walked in. Can you your name and where you were when the explosion took place?
My name is Ezell Harris. I was just off of the bridge by Church Street when the second tower went down.
And what did you see?
It came down like a house of cards. There was, appeared to me to be a series of explosions, both on the top level of the building and on the ground. There were cars, there were trucks, emergency response vehicles, pandemonium, something just like out of, you might as well call this Die Hard 4.
What did you think was happening? Were you listening to a radio?
No, I work in a federal building in Brooklyn across the bridge, and we're building a federal post office there. I'm a steam fitter by trade, Local 638. Our building was evacuated, and upon our building being evacuated, myself and some other construction workers, we rushed to the area to volunteer our services for anything that we, you know, could be useful to or for.
So you'd come across the bridge and you knew something bad had happened to one of the towers.
I knew something bad happened before I even got to the bridge, because we, once again, I say I work in a federal building. The building was evacuated. The job was shut down, and the building was evacuated immediately. That was when the first tower got struck. So, and we could see clearly the smoke and debris, but the second tower was still standing at that time.
And so what happened with the people on the street where you were, Church Street, just blocks away?
It was pandemonium. People running everywhere, running for cover, ducking, a lot of people in shock. It was just chaos, complete.
What did you do?
Well, what I tried to do is after just blew New York up.
This is Dennis Bernstein here. Let me ask the gentleman, as a construction worker, were you shocked to see how easily the buildings seemed to go down? Or was this a surprise to you?
As a construction worker, sir, I'd like to tell you that it wasn't easy for the building to come down. They didn't come down easily. That's number one. I believe that there was a series of explosions. I believe that not only did the aircraft come from the top, I believe there were some base explosions at the bottom. When we put something up, it's up. New York is one of the finest construction armies in the world. Our people are craftsmen. We're tradesmen. We know what we're doing. We put a building up, it's up. So for somebody to take it down, that's one of the reasons why I came across. This is my city, and I build it. Anything happens to my build, one of my buildings in this city, I want to know about it. I want to go find out what's going on. I want to volunteer my services to help any way I can.
You said you work in the federal building in Brooklyn. Who do you work for?
I work for a local 638. I'm a steam fitter. We are currently doing a project in Brooklyn. It's a post office. It is several federal buildings in Brooklyn. We are doing a renovation job there. But it's a federal building. Being as such, as soon as we were aware that there were, as soon as the word went out that it was a possible terrorist attack, that this wasn't, and we knew after the second aircraft, we knew that it wasn't an accident because we know, you know, it's restricted airspace. But the federal government mobilized immediately to evacuate all of their buildings.
Opportunities, army opportunities. And the consistent reply, and this is what is very important for the American.
Now, let me apologize for being distracted and get out of here before I say anything stupid. Bye, kids. See you next week. Tune in. Emma Sanders and Hart.